And as you say, of course, the FDA and reimbursement and costs, all these things are going to be brought in as they have with bevacizumab, with the other tumors. But again, kind of getting back to the oncologist in practice who has really an extensive experience with bevacizumab, colon cancer, lung cancer, now breast cancer, lots of trials out there that people are on. And, you know, I think the feeling that I've gotten is that when you do get a patient who's on bevacizumab alone in these other tumors, these patients have pretty good quality of life.
You know, I think that's true, and I think you're going to see that out there in practice quite a bit. Just as you said, people are familiar and comfortable doing that, starting patients out that way. Many of these other agents like sunitinib and sorafenib, we're not using in a lot of other disease settings off a protocol, so many of the community physicians are still relatively inexperienced in managing patients with those toxicities, and those toxicities are not inconsequential. They can be fairly significant. One of the things to kind of keep in mind is in renal cell carcinoma, there's a mechanism to risk stratify patients. And by that, what I mean is that we can view renal cell carcinoma patients, like any advanced tumor patient, as either having a relatively good prognosis metastatic disease or poor prognosis metastatic disease. And it's important to remember that the reality is probably most renal cell carcinoma patients fall somewhere between the good and intermediate prognosis. Probably only about 10% or so kidney cancer patients, maybe 15%, are in this poor prognostic category. And I can explain that briefly for you. The prognosis is based on Memorial Sloan Kettering criteria, probably the most common criteria we use. There's five criteria here. They're the presence of anemia, so that's red blood cell counts, hemoglobins less than the lower limit of normal, a performance status of ECOG 2 or worse, evidence of an elevated LDH or an elevated calcium, and the last one is the time to metastasis, so whether they present with metastasis at the beginning or they're more than a year out. So those are the five criteria, and if you have none of those poor risk features, good performance status, good labs, a late time to metastasis, then you're in a good risk category, and those are the type of patients probably going to live several years, and trying strategies like bevacizumab alone or some of these monotherapies, sorafenib or sunitinib, I think make a lot of sense. As you get patients that have one or two of those risk factors, they're in the intermediate group. But if they've got three or more, those are patients that have probably an expected survival of 6 months or less, and that's the group of patients probably want to think about with our more aggressive agents right off the bat. So probably not so much the Avastin group there, but more, as I mentioned earlier, this mTOR inhibitor, temsirolimus, or sunitinib have both shown some activity in that setting. So I think as a community physician not treating a lot of renal cell carcinoma, when you do see a patient with renal cell carcinoma, I think you want to try to begin to think of them in terms of this risk stratification, maybe not sort of make one-size-fits-all approach for everyone.